What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. As usual, it's your boy Caleb. We're breaking down another NBA slate, and we're reviewing another NBA slate. This one's going to be a little bit shorter, boys. It's the end of the day, Friday. Long-ass day. I can't lie to you. I am gassed. And I had many thoughts to not record this, man. It's like, do I need to record it? I got to record it, man. Especially because these games get going early tomorrow. And it's tough. Your boy is struggling right now. What you might want to do right now is just fade everything that I play. Because I am as cold as you can be, man. We go 0-2 today. I will say, I'll just be completely honest. I'm always going to be honest with you guys. I'm never going to just... Yeah, you guys get the picture. But I didn't get to watch a ton of basketball today. I had a long hoop session at my school with a lot of kids at the high school, and I was going at it for 3 hours. So the review of today is going to be a little bit shorter, but we do have four more games tomorrow. But let's get it, boys. I hope you guys had a good day betting, and I hope you guys had a good day in general. We'll start with the first game of the day, Pacers Bucks. I was able to catch a little bit of that, and then I caught most of the Suns T-Wolves, like second quarter on. But I didn't get to watch a single minute of Clippers Mavs, so it's really hard for me to really know what went down. And then, you know, as a result, I probably won't touch game four. But Bucks Pacers to start the day was a really fun one. Pacers got out to a lead early. Crowd was into it. Things were going well. I think they pushed the lead close to, if not 20, at a certain point. And then Bucks just whittled it away. Chris Middleton. We talk about Chris Middleton, and I get it, right? Like, he has not been healthy. But Chris Middleton, when he is right, is a absolute bucket. And not just a bucket. Good passer. Really good passer. Good rebounder for size. Just one of my, to me, one of the more underrated hoopers in the league. And obviously availability is a big part of things and a big part of value. And he hasn't really been available, so I get it. But like, when that guy is healthy and whole, dude is an absolute bucket. Anyways, game back and forth. Bucks make a late push in the fourth, tie it up. Chris Middleton, big shot to send it to overtime. And then I didn't get to see overtime. By then I was hooping. You guys saw it, how it went down. Should be a fun series. In terms of Pascal, it would have been great. You know, we have the Pacers score 120 points, goes into overtime, 41 minutes. But I just read it completely wrong in a game where I thought, again, I don't think any, like, I didn't feel like it would get to the point where Pascal is going to get doubled, just because the Pacers have a lot of shooters. They generally have good spacing. And that could lead to some open looks and rhythm looks, and really like, if just Pascal's going, you're going to be okay. It's when everyone else gets going, you get beat. But he, on post-ups, on face-ups, a lot of times he was seen too. Especially if it's a guy like Obi Toppin, and the nearest defender's on Obi Toppin. And I honestly don't even blame the Bucks. I'm showing help on Pascal when Obi Toppin's the nearest defender for sure. So I think he finished with 17. Was not even close to the right call. Didn't get unlucky. Of course, Bobby Portis goes over today, man. I'm just – my school, that is a little bit demoralizing. But, what are we going to do? Complain? Feel sorry for ourselves? Like, it's absolutely my fault. I'm just legitimately making bad read again. It's not like we're getting hoed. It's not like we're getting unlucky. At least it's that, right? Like, you hate it when you just get unlucky. Although I guess I would feel better in terms of the process, but took an L there, took an L on Clips Mavs. Again, I haven't watched the game. I'll watch it back at some point before the next game starts. But again, I really just felt like in game two, yes, the Mavs got it done, but you had a really poor Kawhi game. You really had a bad game from everyone on the Clips, and the Clips are right there. They have one stretch and they're right there in that game. Yes, it's in Dallas, but you're getting 4.5 too, right? So it's not like they even needed to win the game. It just had to be a close game. Check the box score. Kawhi didn't play a ton of minutes. Didn't score. He was essentially ineffective. Essentially didn't do anything. So I don't know how much the knee's bugging him. Didn't watch the game. Don't really have any real thoughts because I didn't see the game. And then we got the Suns, T-Wolves, man. I can't remember as impressive a playoff series as the Timberwolves have shown. And that's just top to bottom. That is every player stepping up into their role and executing it at the highest level. And that's the coaching staff putting together a brilliant game plan in which really Phoenix is just over and over taking tough non-rhythm mid-range jumpers or layups at the rim with Rudy Gobert down there. Not generating any open threes, not even generating threes, not getting really any. In basketball, you go on runs generally when you get quality shots and you start making shots, and now everyone's in a rhythm, everyone's in a flow, and now even the tougher shots are easier. But when you never get into a rhythm because you don't have the opportunity to, you just got to give all the credit. And then on the Wolves side, again, we talked about it a million times. We'll touch on it one more time. The regular season half-court offense, especially when games got tight, was not good for the Timberwolves. And it's been good. They've generated good looks, and now guys are hitting shots, feeling really, really good. And I think you got to give credit to Finch. And I think you also have to give credit for Ant. Something that's jumping off the page to me is just Ant's passing ability and what it's been in the playoffs. Because it's not that I thought of him as a bad passer, but like I didn't expect, you know, some of the passes that he's made as consistently as they've been. Because when Ant puts so much pressure on the rim, right? Like I don't know that I can think of, and I'm tired, I'll give you that, but I can't really think of a guard right now that puts as much consistent pressure on the rim as Anthony Edwards does. There's a lot of really good guards in this league: Luka, Shai, Steph, Dame, Hallie, Trey. None of those guys put downhill pressure the way Anthony Edwards does, with just pure speed. And it's not like, right, like some guys have the speed, some guys have the touch. Most of these guys do. But Ant has another level of physicality to where you can't bump him off his spot. And in fact, if you make contact with him, he is moving you. He is moving you with the force that he gets downhill at. It's incredible. It's truly incredible. And you combine that with the passing ability that he's showing. Special, 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 special player. And I feel very, very foolish for picking the Suns in this one. And they were favored, right? Like, they were favored. Respect to you if you had some money on the Wolves in the series, or if you've made money on them just betting them individually. I think they go in there and close out game four. Suns were 5-point favorites today, which is nuts, right? Obviously, and that is just purely the spot. And that's why I don't think you can just blindly bet the spot. I almost bet them today. I'm glad I still went 0-2, but it's better than 0-3. But it just shows you, like, the spot generally will point you in a direction, but you can't just blindly do it. And we've seen now two teams completely disregard that they're so, quote, supposed to lose the game. And Wolves dominated. All right, we got four games tomorrow. We got the Magic back in action against the Cavs. And again, guys, I'm just, oh boy. I'm probably going to take this shit easy tomorrow, man. I'm tired of losing bets. And I don't think the way to get yourself out of a rut is just to keep blindly firing away until you get something right. I fully admit the playoffs have had my number. And this is not the first time. Like, I think in past years too, again, I haven't had quite the volume. I've never been in quite this hole. Like, I think I'm down around 7 units right now. But still, man, like, it is really hard. I think the hardest playoffs to bet on, just because you have so many games and the lines are so tight. But let's get into these four games, and then I'm going to bed. Magic and Cavaliers. Magic coming in 2-point favorites, 201.5 total. Magic coming off of a dominating game 3 at home. I like the Cavs. I do. And I don't know if that is the move. I really don't, but I like the Cleveland Cavs in this one. You get dominated in game two. You know you're capable of winning these games. Again, with the Magic, there's not – I mean, they've just been so good at home. They've been so good at responding. They were just bound to win that game three. Cleveland's coming in as the better team. You look at the press conference from Donovan Mitchell. He is absolutely locked in. I don't even hate Donovan Mitchell point props either. You should get a reasonable number given the low total and the off game last game. It's 24.5. I don't hate that at all. It's going to be tough. The defense is going to be tough. But I lean the Cavs tomorrow, and I lean Donovan Mitchell points, and I lean the under 201.5. Don't blame you if you want to fade that. Again, didn't get to watch much of game three. And by the time I could watch, it was decided. It was already decided. So I don't think I'm going to get there on anything, but I do like the Cavs tomorrow. Thunder Pelicans is a really tough one because you have two games of sample size now. One in which the Thunder dominated, one in which they pulled out a close one, and you get put. This is the last team in this situation, right? We've seen this situation now three times with the team down 2-0 coming home. Magic took care of business, or we've seen it four times. And guess what? 2-2 each way. Pelicans Thunder are going to decide in this series or in round one which spot wins. Sixers got it done at home. They were in both games. Magic got it done at home. They got blown out both games. Lakers did not get it done at home. They were in both games on the road. And then we just saw Suns did not get it done at home. They got blown out both games. So you literally have one of every single one, right? You have a team that was good in the first two games and just couldn't get it done, get blown out in game three at home. You had a team that was good in both first two games, just couldn't get it done, win and cover in game three. Then you have two teams that got blown out, one in game three in a resounding fashion, and then one got blown out again. So again, you can't take any historical data from me. To me, you have to look at the two teams. And to me, I feel like the Thunder found a little something last game. And then you pair that with the fact that the Pelicans haven't really been that great at home. It's not to say that, you know, they don't get a boost from their home court, but like, to me, it felt like the Thunder found a little bit of something. And over the course of 48 minutes, I would guess that the Thunder are going to score at least one more point than the Pelicans do. I would. So I lean Thunder in this one, just going the better team, the team that thoroughly dominated game two. And I don't know if it was jitters game one, but like, it wasn't like there weren't moments where the Thunder could have pulled away. It just seemed like every time they did, the Pelicans got back into it. But it was a thorough domination. From a shot quality standpoint, from a defense standpoint, the Thunder were much better. I feel more comfortable going with just the basketball that we've seen. And again, if you bet the Thunder, you're betting against a Pelicans team that is going to be the most motivated version of themselves, that are going to have a home crowd going nuts. But I mean, I can't get there. I might get there. I don't know, but, I'm too tired to bet anything right now. If I do bet anything, it'll be in the morning. But I would only look to go, the Thunder in this one. Interesting that this total has come down again, right? Like it was 215 and it soared under in game one. Then it got dropped down to 210. It didn't even soar over. It went over by six, and the Thunder hit every damn shot. And now it's been brought down again to 208.5. I just think what you see is one team, and if in this case it would be the Pelicans, right? One team gets really hot because they're more desperate, and then they hit shots to start, and now they just follow the rhythm, and now everyone's hitting shots, and they can carry you over a shorter total like 208. Over's been on a little bit of a run today. Three games, two overs, one under. So under overs have they've shortened all these lines, which I don't blame them at all. But because they're so low, even with the pace being as slow as it is, even with the fouls being called less frequently than the regular season, because they're so low, if one team has a quote outlier shooting night, it goes over the total. Because at 208.5, a team scores 120. I mean, you're essentially there as long as the other team doesn't completely shit themselves. I do think in this game, though, the under is a good, because even you take last game, right? And it exactly what we just talked about happened, and the Thunder hit every shot. I think they scored 124. It barely went over the total. So I think you can kind of bank on, again, the pace is low. I don't think the Thunder are going to shoot as well as they did. Again, they got better shots. But I would still lean the under in this one at 208. The in terms of the pace and the defense in this one, this reminds me a little bit more of the Clips Mavs, which again soared under tonight. So and has soared under in all three games. Lean Thunder here, probably not strong enough to play. Lean the under 208.5. Celtics Heat, can't touch the 9, man. I'm sure Celtics will be fired up after their last game, but it's like I'm not betting against the best culture, best coach. Like, if there's a team that you ever want to bet on as a underdog that's counted out in a game that matters, it's the Miami Heat. 9's a lot. Celtics, very much so, I would pick to win this game and bounce back. But I can't get there on 9. And this Miami team is going to absolutely fucking grind like they always do. Interesting, again, here we had under 202.5. It's down to 201.5. And again, that went over by 5 or 6 points. Maybe, nah, I think it went over by like 10 points, honestly. But the Heat had a historically good shooting night. One thing's for sure, the only thing I'd play on the spread is the Heat. I'm not going to do it because the Celtics are one of those teams where, again, you feel like a donkey when you fade, because when the Celtics get it going, they can blow you out by 30. And you know it's over in the second quarter. Right, like, you know, and even if it's not, at any moment they can explode because of the amount of quality 3-point looks that they generate. And so I'm realizing too, a lot of the times in these playoff games, it just comes down to which team is shooting the ball better, which team finds their rhythm earlier and rides it longer. And to me, that's a really hard thing to bet right now. So spread, stay away, lean the under. Don't really like any props in this one either. Miami has been another one of these weird teams like the Pelicans where home court has not even seemed to really make that much of a difference for them. Again, not saying that it doesn't matter. It does. But with Miami, they were better on the road than they were even at home. And for good, as good as Miami has been, doesn't seem like – I mean, they got fans, but like – there are better atmospheres for sure. So wouldn't be surprised if this is a grindy slugfest game. 201.5 is awfully low, though, where to the point where it's like really a team has to score 110, right? Like, I kind of like Celtics over 105.5. Like, I fuck with that, but Miami's is gonna throw everything that they can. Last game, Nuggets Lakers. Only way I can go is Nuggets 3.5, and I might actually hit this. Teams that are down 0-3. Literally, it has literally never happened. And it's going to happen eventually, I would think. But I think, my bad, if you heard that. But I think when it does happen, it's going to be a team that lost three games and all three were close. And then they still have that belief of like, damn, we were right there. Or like, maybe they had a star player out for the first two. He comes back. Game three, they lose, but it's like, all right, we have like, it's not going to happen here. And so what the point I'm trying to make in this is the Lakers know they will never admit it, but deep down they know this is over. This is over. They are not going to do something that no one has ever done against what is the best team in the league, right? Like maybe if they just got unlucky and lost three to the Thunder or whatever, or the Timberwolves, you're not coming back down three to the Nuggets. And so you know this. The team knows this. They will not admit it, but they know this. And shit, maybe someone's real and has admitted it. But all that to say is this can be a close game for a really long time. It could be a close game the whole way. But at some point, the Nuggets are going to hit. At some point, the Nuggets are going to make a run. At some point, the Nuggets are going to reel off 10 straight. MPJ is going to bury it. Like, they've got just too many guys, right? At some point over the course of a 48-minute game, I don't know when it'll be, the Nuggets will have a run. And the Lakers are going to have to decide, are we going to put everything we've got to try and fight our way back? Or are we going to fold? And I think at some point, they will fold. They will fold because it takes a lot of not just physical energy, but mental energy to fight and not, you know, in a game like this, you have to just be on. You have to be mentally on every second you're on the court. There's no relaxing. There's no taking it easy. And it just takes a ton of mental energy to fight as a group. And it'd be one thing. It's like maybe there's one guy doing it, right? But it has to be all five guys, especially against this team. So to me, 3.5 still feels short. To me, this is a game that at some point the Lakers' spirit will go. And once that spirit goes, it's over. And the Nuggets will smell blood in the water. This is not a team. This is a team that understands what it takes to win a championship. This is not a team that will be satisfied with, they got one. It's all good. Like, this is a team that, you know, understands, one, we can get some much needed rest because the T-Wolves are going to get rest. And two, championship teams, when they smell blood in the water or taste blood in the water, I'm not sure. When there's blood in the water, they go get the kill. And I expect them to do that tomorrow. This is my favorite bet of the four spreads. And just shit in general is the Nuggets -3.5. This again, I'm not even saying like I expect the Nuggets to from the jump just blow out the Lakers, and they damn well could. I'm not saying I expect that. But what I am expecting is at some point a run to be made and that to put the Lakers in a tough spot mentally of like, all right, our season's over. It's fine. Right. And maybe they answer back once or twice, but the Nuggets are going to keep coming. And we've seen now already in games that I guess this technically matters more because if they lose, they're out. But like we've already seen this when the series was, quote, closer. Right. Like Lakers up 14 in game one. Lakers up 20 in game two. Lakers up double digits early in game three. Nuggets are inevitable, man. And I think the Lakers even understand that at this point. So that's my favorite look of the game of the slate tomorrow. Again, to recap, I think the Cavs, I just got a feeling, right? Like I didn't even watch game three. And maybe that factors into why I feel this way. But I got a feeling that the Cavs are going to get the job done tomorrow. It's going to be a grind of a game. It is not going to be easy. But I think Donovan Mitchell goes and wins them this game in game four. And I think they will be much better prepared and just have an understanding of like, hey, this low-key is this. Like, we don't want this to get to – yeah, we could do this whole song and dance where – you all right, you guys win game four. We'll obviously win game five. You win game six, and we can win inside. You could do that, or you could go sack up, put everything on the line, go get this game four win, and have a chance to close it out at home in game five. I think the Cavs get it done. I don't mind Donovan Mitchell points. I don't mind the under here. Again, Magic shot the absolute hell out of it. Probably not going to happen again, and that's where I look. I lean Thunder -1. They're the obvious better team. It's going to be a hell of a battle. But at the same time, again, it's this constant game in your mind of like motivation at home, desperation, home crowd versus just simply the better team. Also lean the under there. Boston, Miami, lean the under 201.5, lean Miami. But also just tough to fade a Boston team off a loss in the playoffs. And we've seen when they're clicking capable, this Boston team could win by 25. On top of the fact that this Miami team still, I look at it, and obviously played their asses off. It's 1-1 against a team that won 64 games. But, like, still, if Tyler Hero's not in rhythm, I struggle to see where the offense comes from. But favorite look for sure, the Nuggets. I appreciate you guys. Best of luck to whatever it is that you end up playing. Have a blast this weekend. I am fucking tired, and I hopefully I haven't lost you. hopefully you've been just making your own bets or fading me, man. I know we'll get it going at some point. I hope it's at least in this playoffs. If not, might have to wait our turn until next regular season. But that will not stop me from continuing to grind. I love you guys. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk soon. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.